produced and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. This is your daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Daily Audio Stash is where responsible marijuana smokers listen in on the latest news about cannabis, hear the voices of the marijuana law reform movement in special segments and interviews, and kick back with comedy and music no other podcast can offer. It's Normal's Daily Audio Stash. More information at normalaudiostash.com. First up today, it's news from Normal. Our news today, former Normal director runs in Maryland for the U.S. Senate. Kevin Zeese, former executive director of the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws and longtime anti-drug war activist, is running for the U.S. Senate in Maryland as the Green, Libertarian, and Populist Party's nominee. Zeese is on a mission to rid politics of corporate interests, to pull the troops out of Iraq, to reform the nation's drug policy, and to require a paper record for computerized voting. He also wants to limit U.S. support of Israel and calls the recent attacks on Lebanon acts of terrorism. Zeese enthusiastically fights his uphill battle in the modern age of American politics, where money equals power. Running bare bones, he has just two campaign aides and about $16,000 in the bank as of June 30th. Compared with the millions that Lieutenant Governor Michael Steele and Representative Benjamin Cardin have amassed, Zeese relies on old-fashioned retail politicking. In a move to reach late-night voters and to stand out in a crowded field of 29 candidates, Zeese has turned to midnight campaigning. The itinerary on a night last week in Frederick, Maryland was full. Get to the hospital by 10:50 to catch employees switching shifts at 11, then on to 24-hour grocery stores, a Safeway and two Giants, then the bars on Market Street, and finally a swing through 7-Eleven and FedEx Kinko's. Zeese hits all of his stops in a hard-to-miss light blue Honda Civic Hybrid. It's perhaps the only car with Zeese bumper stickers on the back and front bumpers. Zeese was raised in a string of apartments by his parents, a surgical nurse, and a special education teacher, and was a product of public schools. He planned to be a criminal defense lawyer, but after law school, he was drawn into legal activism and later politics. Zeese developed a national reputation through the 1980s and 90s as an advocate on drug policy reform. At Normal and later as president of Common Sense for Drug Policy, Zeese fought against the prohibition of marijuana and called for a public health approach to drug control. He's appeared on network TV talk shows and written opinion columns in national newspapers. In 2004, he served as press secretary for Ralph Nader's presidential campaign. Zeese is an active member and leader of several anti-war groups. He's been campaigning with Cindy Sheehan, the activist who became a household name when she demonstrated last summer outside President Bush's Texas ranch. Not too long ago, Zeese fit into the more traditional political system. He said he didn't start voting for third-party candidates until 1996. In 2000, he voted by absentee ballot for Ralph Nader and then went to Michigan, a swing state, for the final days to canvass for Vice President Al Gore. The Senate election in Maryland takes place November 7, 2006. More information up at normalaudiostash.com. Welcome back to the Audio Stash. Today, I'm your host, Chris Goldstein. Hope everyone had a wonderful summer weekend out there. Take a moment to join us at Normal to promote marijuana law reform across the country. Join up at normal.org. Mondays here on The Stash, we get our week rolling right with an activism focus, and our news today was a great highlight of how important these issues are today in this country. Again, we have a link to Kevin Keese's Senate campaign website up at normalaudiostash.com. Now let's dive into the Beltway with America's foremost cannabis insider, Normal's executive director, Alan St. Pierre. Alan has spent his professional career watching the mechanics of our great republic and brings a unique big picture view to the Audio Stash every week.
One of my favorite annual congressional dog and pony shows, Hinchy Rohrabacher Amendment. Since 2002, New York Democrat Maurice Hinchy and California Republican Dana Rohrabacher have offered an amendment to a congressional spending bill that seeks to prohibit the Drug Enforcement Administration and other law enforcement agencies from using taxpayer dollars to harass and arrest patients who are in compliance with their state's medical marijuana laws. Currently, 11 states have laws that offer legal protections for qualified patients. From west to east, those states are Hawaii, Alaska, Washington, Oregon, California, Nevada, Colorado, Montana, Rhode Island, Vermont, and Maine. Important as it is for advocates for marijuana law reform to have their issue debated on the floor of the U.S. Congress, the now annual Hinchy Rohrabacher Amendment serves mostly as a grand public demonstration of the huge chasms in Congress regarding marijuana policy. In case you forgot to watch C-SPAN this June, here's a sample of what passes for reasoned debate in Congress regarding medical marijuana. From Congressman Robert Peterson, Republican, Pennsylvania. Quote, "My friend's son Johnny began smoking marijuana in high school. Johnny lost his thrust for life. Johnny lost the keen mind that God had given him. Marijuana stole him from the potential he had. Folks, if I thought the American public needed legal marijuana for pain and suffering, I would support it. We have more drugs than we need on the marketplace. Marijuana is a dangerous drug that is not adequately respected by the young people of this country because they have been seduced by leaders in this country advocating that it is a perfect, wonderful drug." Unquote. Okay. This Hinchy Rohrabacher Amendment has become important to marijuana law reform groups such as Normal because Congress, under Republican leadership, has not allowed a vote on the more important and far-reaching congressional bill, House Resolution 2087, the States' Rights to Medical Marijuana Act, which would allow states to reschedule marijuana and permit it to be used and legally distributed as a medicine for qualified patients. And so, were it not for the bold efforts of Hinchy and Rohrabacher, there simply would be no vote in Congress regarding medical marijuana. Meanwhile, for the fourth year in a row, Congress had an opportunity to stop wasting taxpayer dollars arresting seriously ill patients who possess and use medical cannabis in compliance with state law. Instead, the House voted 259-63 against the bipartisan amendment, the highest total ever recorded in a congressional floor vote to liberalize marijuana, but still far from victory. Of those who voted in support of the Hinchy Rohrabacher medical marijuana amendment, 18 were Republicans, a gain of 3 votes from 2005, and 144 were Democrats. This is Alan St. Pierre, Executive Director of NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, in Washington, D.C.
We covered Hinchy Rohrabacher extensively here on the Audio Stash. And you know, folks, only by supporting organizations like NORML and getting involved through email or signature actions to your local congressional representatives will there be a broader forum for marijuana in our national politics. There are great ways to get involved right now. Just visit norml.org. Next up today, some music from the Hempilation album. Here's Hater with the tune Convicted, what we're all trying to fight happening out there.
Get my hands so much on the drive, get addicted to love.
was Hater from the Hempelation album today here on the Audio Stash. And next up, we're going to take a look at a local Normal chapter. There are dozens and dozens of local Normals in the United States. Some states have numerous small and large chapters all working to reform marijuana laws, both locally and nationally. This network of affiliates is fairly unique in the nonprofit and activism world. And the broad base of support and diverse ethnic and political backgrounds of marijuana law reform advocates are most clearly demonstrated by Normal's local chapters. Karen Molliver has the monster assignment of being the point of contact for all this grassroots activism in the country, and she brings us this report on an East Coast chapter creating reform in the South.
Welcome to Normal Chapter Profiles on the Daily Audio Stash. My name is Karen Mulliver, and I'm the Chapter and Outreach Coordinator for Normal, National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Today I'd like to tell you about one of our newer chapters, Virginia Normal. Virginia Normal was founded in the spring of 2006 by former Normal Executive Director John Getman. Currently, Virginia Normal is working to reach out and listen to supporters of cannabis reform throughout Virginia in order to get a better understanding of the needs and ideas of the people and to build a grassroots movement within the state. The activists of Virginia Normal are dedicated to seeking out the best way to represent the interests of the people in the legislature, to the media, and to the general public. Ultimately, Virginia Normal seeks to utilize these ideas to adopt objectives and prepare strategy for this winter session of the Virginia Legislative Assembly. Marijuana policy and laws in Virginia have a widespread impact on citizens throughout the Commonwealth, especially the young. Virginia Normal believes that it's in the public interest for government officials and legislators to have reasonable discussions about marijuana with their constituents, and that reform based on these discussions can produce widespread benefits. Virginia Normal works to promote equity and efficiency in the state's criminal justice system by increasing awareness, debate, and participation in the executive and legislative processes throughout the state. The group hopes to update Virginia's marijuana laws in order to reduce criminal justice costs and address legal issues created by the use of marijuana to alleviate the symptoms of illness and/or other serious forms of physical impairment. Virginia had 14,442 arrests for marijuana possession in 2000 alone. Most marijuana possession arrests involve individuals under the age of 25, who account for 64% of all marijuana arrests. Marijuana possession offenses cost Virginia a combined $43.4 million in the year 2001 for arrests and prosecutions, accounting for 5.23% of local law enforcement budgets. Based on these findings, Virginia Normal suggests that marijuana possession should be reclassified as a Class 3 misdemeanor, punishable by a fine of $500. This reclassification would increase equity in sentencing, provide for more efficient use of state and local criminal justice funds, and reduce the introduction of young Virginians into the state's correctional system. If you'd like to support Virginia Normal or volunteer your time, please visit www.vanormal.org. If you have any questions about Normal chapters in general, please feel free to call the office. That's 888-67-NORMAL and ask for Karen. As always, thanks for supporting Normal.
Links to Virginia Normal and all of Normal's local chapters are up at normalaudiostash.com. And thanks to Karen Molliver for that report. National Normal staff does an incredible year-round job as America's largest, most supported, and longest-running marijuana law reform organization. Let's wrap up our Monday right today with a smile, courtesy of the Pot's Greatest Hits CD. We have links to buy it, and while you laugh heartily, portions of your purchase help Normal create reform.
Has anyone listening to this ever been on a chain gang? Show of hands. There's one, two. Well, this next guy has. Here's Ron Schock at the Comedy Caravan in Louisville, Kentucky, telling a great American story.
I've been an advocate of it. I'm one of these radical Americans that thinks that the best thing our country could do is to legalize marijuana and tax it. Like, you know, legalize it and tax it. Legalize it and tax it. Legalize it and tax it. It's our largest cash crop. We need the fucking money, okay? You know, you can't ever get rid of marijuana, since we're on the subject. You know, you can't ever get rid of marijuana. You can't get rid of it. You know why? It's a weed. Let me repeat that. It's a weed. That shit grows everywhere, okay? Do you know it'll grow as far north as Alaska on the edge of the Arctic Circle, turn right around and grow in Hawaii? And oh, bless you if you get hold of some of that. Oh, bless you, brother. Bless you, brother. There is a God, and he plays favorites. You know, I've debated people on radio and television, you know, or tried to get some of them to debate me. Some of them just won't do it, you know, because they have no argument for having marijuana, you know, not drug, marijuana, legal in this country. I said, why is it illegal? They go, well, it's a drug. And you're an idiot. It's a drug. Well, what an argument that is. Okay, marijuana, THC, is a drug. So is aspirin. Last year, 1,000 Americans died of aspirin overdoses. Nicotine is a drug. This drug tastes good, like a drug should. They'll even put menthol in it for me, so in case I do get throat and lung cancer, I'll still have a nice, pleasant taste in my mouth, because my drug company cares about me, Bubba. And this drug is not only your state's largest crop, but it is our country's third largest export. And when we send it to third world countries, we don't put a warning on it. You know why? Fuck 'em. That's how we do business. We fuck 'em. This drug kills 250,000 of us every year, according to the American Heart Association. And alcohol's a drug. You don't think we have propaganda in this country? Every day you hear the term drugs and alcohol. Drugs and alcohol. Drugs and alcohol. Well, alcohol is a drug, so it can't be drugs and alcohol. That'd be like dogs and Rottweilers. It's a fucking drug. It's a drug. Let's call the truth the truth. It's a drug. Put the word drug in a beer commercial. Budweiser says, for all you do, this drug is for you. Well, thanks, Pusher Man. Pusher Man. Well, alcohol, the drug, kills 100,000 of us every year, so aspirin kills 1,000, nicotine kills 250,000, alcohol kills 100,000, and marijuana never killed anybody anywhere at any time. But why let logics get in the way? I've said this to 500,000 people. None of you have ever known a belligerent stoner, and all of you know a belligerent drunk. Isn't that right? You know that guy. 3 drinks and he can whip Mike Tyson. You know that guy. I'll kick your goddamn ass. I'll kick your goddamn, me and Jack Daniels, kick your goddamn ass. Marijuana smoker go, oh, wow. You probably could. We've settled that. I'm going to go get some to eat. Who's acting like the criminal, okay? You know, I drink. I'm not against alcohol. I'm really kind of in favor. I'm a libertarian more than anything else. I believe, you know, if you can do something and without hurting anybody else other than you, you should have the right to do that. And then if you want to go home and blow your brains out with alcohol or cocaine or heroin, I don't care. Do it. Do it. Do it. Talk some of your friends into it, too. There's way too many of us. Get out of the gene pool. I don't fucking care, okay? You know, now you hurt somebody else, well, then we got a problem with that, okay? You know, I told my kids, the most dangerous drug is alcohol. You know why? Because it's the only drug that you don't know when you're fucked up. You know, every other drug, you know. Oh, boy, you know. There comes a certain distinguishable, definable, recognizable point where you go, oh, man, I am fucked up. Oh, shit. Oh, shit. Oh, no. No, I don't want to go anywhere. Thanks for asking, but I think I'll sit here on the floor and look at this carpet for a while. I am seriously fucked up. And that's where they'll be, right? They're not hurting anybody. Where's Ronnie? He's over there. He's fucked up, okay? He's been there for 5 hours now going, wow. Not a criminal. It's not a criminal. But with alcohol, you'll see tonight, you'll see somebody too drunk to walk, and they're arguing. I'm not drunk. I'm not drunk. I'm not drunk. I can drive the goddamn car. I can, after I kick your ass. Man, Jack Daniels will drive the goddamn car. Drunk drivers kill people because, well, they're going too fast. Why? Because they don't know they're fucked up. Now, a marijuana smoker, if they get behind the wheel of a car, which is fairly unlikely, but if they do, the worst that's going to happen to them, someone's going to run over their ass. Just run their ass over because they're going too slow. If you've never smoked it, ask anyone who has. You can't drive a car fast while stoned. When that car starts moving, it's like it leaps into some kind of warp speed, thereby just scaring the shit out of you. You're going, oh, wow, oh, goddamn, front end's going to come up off the ground. I am going so fast. Those other people must be driving rocket cars out there. When they come out with those, you look down, you're going 11 miles an hour. This is not a dangerous person. For all of you who do not smoke marijuana, let me point out that all these people laughing do. Look around. Look around. It's the majority of us. They're not criminals. They're not gang members. They're your fucking neighbors. They're your doctor, your banker, your cop on the fucking corner. Give me this shit. We've gotten to a point we won't admit what we know is the fucking truth. Marijuana is harmless. And it helps a lot of things. You got glaucoma, it helps cure it. The nausea caused by chemotherapy, it helps get rid of it. Legalize it and fucking tax it. Quit being sheep. You ever get too stoned to drive? You ever reach that point where you really are too stoned to drive? You'll know it. Oh, boy, you'll know it. You'll find you sit at a traffic light. Through several signal changes. You've noticed that everything indeed is moving with the music, and you're not going to be able to go until this CD is over. You just fuck up the universe. You're too stoned to drive, and you'll know it. You just get out of the car, leave it there in the intersection. Go find that donut. Krispy Kreme, here I come. Let me give you a quote from Thomas Jefferson, the greatest political writer our country has ever produced. Thomas Jefferson and the rest of our founding fathers were potheads. I hope you all knew that. Hate to be the one to break American history to you. George Washington had 100 acres of marijuana under cultivation for 10 years. Said he had the best shit on the East Coast. Thomas Jefferson smoked marijuana almost every day of his adult life. According to Thomas Jefferson in his memoirs, fairly reliable source right there, means he was probably stoned when he wrote the Declaration of Independence. Wasn't that pissing people off? It kind of sounds like something you'd say with that perceptive high that really good dope gives you. When in the course of human events... Doesn't that sound like the beginning of a dope rap right there? Life, liberty, and here comes that old dope smoker again, pursuit of happiness. Let me quote Thomas Jefferson specifically on the question of marijuana. I quote, "Some of my finest hours have been spent on my back veranda, smoking hemp and observing as far as my eye can see." End of quote. Thomas Jefferson, 1781. A quote from a more modern American, not nearly as important, but this guy I happen to know real well. One other quote for you from a living American. Quotation marks. Me too, Tom. Legalize it and tax it.
That was Comedy from the Pot's Greatest Hits CD. We have links to buy it right up at normalaudiostash.com.
755,000. That is a big number to be sure, but do you know what this number represents? It signifies the total number of citizens in America arrested on marijuana charges in 2004. That's right. 755,000 of your fellow citizens were arrested on marijuana charges. That's an arrest every 40 seconds. And 9 out of 10 of those arrested are for possession-only charges. Does continuing marijuana prohibition make sense to you? It certainly does not to the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws and its members. I'm Normal's Executive Director, Alan St. Pierre, and if you too think that it is high time to end marijuana prohibition and replace it with a tax and regulate policy, please join and support Normal's 36-year legislative efforts to reform our country's misguided marijuana laws. You can learn more about Normal or become an active supporter by calling toll-free 888-67-NORMAL, N-O-R-M-L, or by visiting us on the web at normal, N-O-R-M-L.org.
This has been Normal's Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Thanks to Alan St. Pierre and Karen Mollover for contributing to today's show. Thanks to Podshow.com for all the great PodSafe music. We feature the band Carne Cruda as our theme. Make sure you visit our website at normalaudiostash.com. That's normalaudiostash.com for more information about every day's show. Red Aphid Interactive Media for the podcasting technology. We're back at 4:20 tomorrow. If you listen to the Audio Stash, cast your vote at Podcast Alley or other podcast directory services. I'm your host, Chris Goldstein. Thanks for listening today. See you at 4:20 tomorrow.
We welcome your feedback, questions, comments, and most importantly, your support. Contact us at Normal and the Normal Foundation, 1600 K Street, Suite 501, Washington, D.C., 2006-2832, or email normal@normal.org.
The podcasting technology of Normal is made possible by Red Aphid Interactive Media. More information at redaphid.com.